We are the People's Pod, giving you unfiltered and unqualified content every single week. I'm Cliffy's Joe. Welcome back, everybody.
What's up, everyone?
We're fired up. I'm fired up. We had a little pregame talk. A little pregame talk.
Talking about burritos. We're in the middle of the game right now. This is like mid-second quarter.
Yeah, we're warmed up. We're warmed up. So let's get into it. Today, we're going to try something new. I'm going to drop a list for Joe. I didn't prep him at all, so he's going to react to my list. We're going to do cringy bingy. We got to talk about the Lakers. We got to talk about the Celtics and the Heat. But first, we're going to take a double step back looking at the news. Joe, Embiid is being pretty petty, right? Hands over his face, pushing people, shoving people, elbowing people, grabbing people's legs, doing amaterasu everywhere, you know?
Oh, come on. Now we know. Now we know it's a real thing. It's Bell's palsy, guys. It's Bell's palsy.
For those that don't know, Embiid has only been blinking his right eye because he didn't want to make a big deal out of it. And I was like, I know what that is. I know what that is.
You know.
The manga cue, dude. That's the manga cue right there.
Cliff was not aware of this thing, and I texted him, and he's like, he's like, we know what it is. It's a shining gun. It's awakening.
You were like, dude, have you seen it out there? Like, genuine concern for another human being?
Yeah.
I made it a joke. Something's wrong with me, man. Because there's something wrong with me, because that's the first thing I thought of.
Well, I mean, to be fair, Cliff is attributing tone to my words. But this is text, so, you know. I wasn't super concerned. It was weird, though. Definitely. I was like, this guy's not blinking. But now we know. Yeah, we know it's Bell's palsy, but...
Shutting.
Who knows, Cliff? Maybe he has awakened something. Because...
Look,
game three, he was definitely...
He's being petty. He's being petty, right? He's pushing. He's shoving. But, right, sometimes taijutsu's not enough. You got to go with the aijutsus, dude.
Yeah.
So he's also throwing in that. Trying to genjutsu all these people.
The winky fire. The unstoppable fire. It is happening. Maybe this is his evil arc. It's his Itachi arc.
This podcast is so stupid.
Maybe, but in any case, I don't know. He was on target game three because he was on fire, dropping 50.
He dropped 50.
A 50 bomb.
A 50 bomb, even with it. So, look, we know the 76ers are here to play. This is the most likely game seven series.
Yeah,
so,
definitely.
You know, definitely this series is not over. It's not over. But Brunson brought it, so he's starting to get his feeling back. So it's going to be fun. This is going to be a fun one. Joe, speaking of, game winners everywhere. A lot of game winners. You got SGA, game winners. You got Jamal Murray, game winners. Dante DiVincenzo, game winners. Joe, the games have been really good, right?
Oh, yeah. All the game twos. And then, you know, almost everybody came back in their game threes. Almost. Mm-hmm.
Joe, something you brought up to me. The ESPN on-air talent has really been exposed this playoffs.
Jeez.
No one's talked about it that much, but, you know, all of the ESPN notable firings, now the rookies have to come up and step up, be in the limelight with the playoffs, and Joe, it's been pretty bad.
It has been horrible. Gosh. I've been texting you a lot about it.
I know. You're really passionate about this.
It's so noticeable. Like, I didn't really notice, just to be honest, throughout the year. And I watch a lot of League Pass. So I got the local guys. And local guys
They've been there forever.
I love the you know, they pronounce all the names right. They know all the backgrounds, right? Like, they're on point with their stats and their, you know, and they're just entertaining. They, you know, there's a rapport. They've been doing it for 10, 20, 30 years. A lot of these guys, they have their little phrases and things. It's very entertaining. You know, even when they're super biased, right? It's still entertaining. Sometimes it's infuriating if you're the away team, but it's still entertaining. Just the ESPN, I didn't really notice until the play-in these crews are terrible. I'm sorry. Okay, I miss JVG. I miss Mark Jackson. I miss Jalen Rose. I miss a lot of these guys.
Stop. Before you go, the JVG, Mark Jackson, Mike Breen combo. Yeah.
Yes.
Is like the Heatles combo.
Yo, it's so good. It's so
good. It's the Boston three.
And you don't realize how good it is till you got it taken away.
But right? No, we knew how good it was.
Well, that's
true. Everybody knew how good it was.
No, but Cliff, I got to say, and even ESPN, I'm sure, did not notice how good it was. You knew it was good. But when you take that away, and now you're with these crews that just, I'm sorry, they're just not entertaining. And you got me not liking people like Stephen A. and Wilbon now because it's just not the right chemistry.
Mm.
It's so boring. Like, there's so much empty space. Like, 2 seconds of empty space, you know, on a sports broadcast. It's a long time. It sounds like it's a long time. You want the guys always having something. They're thinking of something. And they're just talking. Even in a blowout, it's right? They'll just start talking about some random stuff that nobody cares about, right?
Yeah.
But it's very entertaining. It's interesting. They'll start bringing up rules changes. And they'll start bringing up stuff about the refs. And they'll get on their soapbox and start talking about something, right? Because there's so much basketball on their brains.
Right.
Right. There's so much just stored up in here. And there's such a comfort level and a rapport that they can just keep talking about it. It's like a podcast, right? It just keeps going on and on. And it's fine. And you could just listen to them. Cliff, I've been very tempted to put the game on mute. Many times on the ESPN broadcast in particular. Okay, the TNT's still good, but the ESPNs, man, it just, I mean, it's just a bunch of extremely obvious things. Like, oh, you know, they're in the bonus now, so they got to stop fouling. It's like, okay. Great insight. That's great. You can't do that. You can't turn the ball over, you know? It's just like, what are you talking about? Like, say something that, you know, the Heat this year, this just occurred to me right now. I did not prep this. The Heat this year in one of their games, I think it was like Children's Day or something, and they had a kid broadcaster on there, a high school kid, who was like 16 years old, and he joined the broadcast with the Heat broadcast team.
Wow.
And he was giving he was giving some play-by-play and some commentary. This kid's better than a lot of the
– Dude, he's the Wemby. He's
like,
Wembanyama.
It was – I was so impressed. I was like, man, this kid's good. He had little phrases. I don't remember them now, but he had little names for like Jaime Jaquez and like Bam Adebayo. Like he had his little like pet names and little phrases that he was throwing in there. You know,
nice.
You know what I'm talking about.
It adds to them. It adds to their
own it's his own personality.
Brand, right?
Yeah. Like the yes or the bang, you know, like those kind of, he had his own little phrase. I'm sorry. Just the ESPN team got – it just has nothing. And it makes guys like Kendrick Perkins seem that much worse. You know, like when you don't have the star player, the role player is like really exposed. And you're like, this guy is just try-harding so try-hard. Like to get his – he is a streets ahead phrase every freaking time, Cliff. He's always trying to make a new thing work, a new fetch. You know, like – Every time he says this phrase, I don't even know if I should talk about this. I will talk about this. Well, okay, you know what? I'm going to be very vague, okay? I had this conversation with somebody once, okay? And it's like, you know when somebody like wants you to react to everything they say?
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like you're trying to have a regular conversation, like you're trying to have coffee with someone.
Yeah.
And you just want to have like a regular human to human conversation.
Yes.
But they are trying to like land a point like every time. Do you know what I mean? It's like, no, it's not programs. It's people. And then they just stare at you for like a few seconds. Do you know what I'm talking about? Like they're waiting for your reaction. Like they want you to react to what they're saying.
Yeah.
And I had this once and it was just like nonstop this. You know, it was like someone was giving like a stump speech, you know, like they're that's how it feels right now, the ESPN. It feels very inauthentic. It feels very forced. There's no chemistry. It's not entertaining. I'm sorry, ESPN. Y'all screwed up. I know you were paying a lot, but man, we need those. Like, I miss Jay Will. I miss Max Kellerman. Like, a lot of these guys, they just, you know, it was just entertaining.
Rachel Nichols was good, too.
Rachel Nichols. I miss Rachel Nichols. Yeah, like, she was very good on the jump. Like, mm-hmm. And it made guys like Zach Lowe like, Ramona, it kind of put them in their correct spot, correct position. You know, I don't want Torian Prince running the offense, okay? But that's what's happening right now. Okay, you got rid of LeBron, D'Lo, AR, you know, AD is the face of the franchise, and then you got, you know, Torian is like the point guard right now, and it's just not working.
Most NBA franchises get rid of star players when they have a plan to, like,
the next star.
The next guy, right?
Yes.
They're, like, trying to get the next guy ready, give him reps, all this stuff, right? Like, you don't get rid of Drew Bledsoe unless you have a Tom Brady waiting in the back. You don't get rid of Brett Favre unless you got Aaron Rodgers waiting in the back, right? But this is like they just got rid of all their stars with no plan.
Yeah.
They had nobody. They only had role players. And they're like, you know,
maybe
they could do it.
Oh, gosh. No.
Maybe they could. Let's get Norris Cole. Can Norris Cole average 25? Like, we got a 25-point hole from LeBron. All right, get Shabazz Napier. All right, Shabazz Napier, he'll cover Dwayne Wade's 8 assists. All right, let's get Luol Deng. Luol Deng can cover Chris Bosh's 3 points, you know, on the wing. Like, what?
I think the problem is it's not even like one of those things where you get tricked. You know how teams will get tricked by Ramon Sessions every time and be like, oh, you know what? Give him the minutes.
Yeah, yeah. What?
If you give him the minutes. Like, look at his per 36. If we just give him more minutes, he's going to be like 25 and 15.
He's Jonathan Isaac.
See, that. But the problem
is. He's Robert Williams, the Time Lord.
Cliff, didn't we? I mean, you could have seen this coming a mile away. I'm sorry, but none of these people did I ever think, oh, that person needs their own show or that person needs to host.
Right.
I'm sorry. Like, Malika Andrews is a freaking robot. She has no, like, personality or takes. It's just, you know what I'm saying? Like, it's AI. AI could run this show.
Even Shannon, dude. Come on, man.
It's just, I don't know, man.
You can't have two Joe Bluths and not a Michael Bluth. You need a Michael Bluth.
You need a Michael Bluth, yes. You need a Michael Bluth. Michael Bluth makes Tobias and Job, like, work.
You can't have two Pierce Hawthorns.
You need a Jeff.
You need a Jeff.
And right now, there's no Jeff and no Abed. So that's, you just don't have the show then. Like, what do you have?
You don't have the show. You have Pop Pop.
Yeah, I mean, is Troy even out there? I mean, you got
you
no
can't
Jeff,
even
no
rely
Abed, no
just
Troy.
On that. You can't.
You just got a couple Annies and some Magnitudes
Leonard.
And some Pierce Hawthorns. That's it. That's what,
like,
you got.
What? That's not the show.
That's not the show. That's not the show.
On the other
I
end,
had to
you
be
got
on
TNT.
The snowbugs. I'm sorry.
Yeah, TNT keeping their whole office crew all the way through 18 seasons. Can't beat it.
And they're the GOAT. Right. And Shaq freaking called the whole Celtics Heat game exactly, hit the nail on the head. They're going to win by 10.
Yeah. That was impressive.
Yeah, you can't teach that, man. That's a basketball experience right there.
All right, Joe, let's get into the first thing. I'm going to drop a list for you. I'm calling this the Rock Lee list, which is, do you remember the moment that Rock Lee stood on top of the statue And he was having a hard time with Gaara. And then all of a sudden, Guy says, it's time. And yes. he drops the weights from his
of course.
Thing. And they're like, what are the weights going to do? Leg weights? 5-pound leg weights? And it smashes the ground.
Yeah, of course. Of course.
That's what I'm talking about here. Biggest playoff flexes. Top 5 playoff flexes to date thus far. Joe, honorable mention. You know, we talk about Luka, right? Luka's been great, but his numbers are the same. His numbers right. are exactly the same.
He's already seen great, what he does. So he was already
He's yeah. done that, right?
Right.
SGA, his numbers exactly the same, right?
Sure.
Struggled a little bit in game one, dominated game two. We knew that was going to happen. It's not a surprise. But let's go number 5. Jarrett Allen.
Mm.
Joe, Cavs up 2-1. Magic have scored 83-86 in their first two games. They averaged 111 points per game during the season, 110 in April, even with the scoring slowdown, and 121 in game three, right? But Jared Allen is a big reason they were successful defensively in the first one. 16-15, 2-1-1, 60% shooting. Jonathan Isaac came in. That was the Magic's response in game two to start to match Jared Allen, and he got owned. 3 points on 1 of 7 shooting. Number 5, Jared Allen. How do you feel about that?
I feel good. Yeah, Jared has played well. Even in game three, which obviously the Magic destroyed the Cavs.
Destroyed.
Got
yes,
home. And the Magic are going to be the type of team that's going to play a lot better at home.
They're going
to
start.
Jared Allen still was like one of the bright spots. Like 15 points in that game. I think he shot very well. I mean, Donovan and freaking Darius did not show up at all. They just played terrible. Jared Allen's still doing his thing. So, you know, I like it. He's a huge X factor, I think, in this series. If he can neutralize Jonathan Isaac, who still has having an impact defensively, then, yeah, obviously the Cavs, they're looking good. So, I like it. I like it.
Number 4, Jokic. Because this guy... I don't think people – I think people are actually finally starting to understand how good this guy is because he is so freaking clutch and he can get whatever he wants anytime. He's 28-16-9-2. His numbers went up, 64% shooting. He's improving all of his numbers, 2 turnovers a game. And, of course, game two, we know Jamal Murray, he closed the game, of course, right? We know it. But – from 4 minutes and 24 seconds left to 2 minutes and 12 seconds, Jokic had 3 shots made. He had 1 free throw, 2 boards. There was really nothing else in that span from Denver. Jokic, number 4, biggest flex. Joe, what do you think?
Why don't you just do the whole list and then I'll comment on
okay.
it after.
Yeah. All right, let's go. Number 3, and I'm shocked by this. I'm shocked. Because I said he'd never be an all-star again the year after Kawhi left. Pascal Siakam. He is 37. 12. And that's right. 37 points per game. Shooting 65%. They stole game one against the Bucks. He had a career high 37 points per game in game one. So you were like, there's the fluke. It'll reset for game two. He got 36 in game two. 36 points per game. He was kind of being himself, right? That he's done the last 5 years, 21-8-4 in the regular season. 21-8-4, that's been his numbers for 5 years straight. Some variants of those. But all of a sudden, he freaking dropped the weights and he became Siakam. Spicy P. And he did it from everywhere. Three-pointers, drives, in the post, in transition. He's basically doing the role of Haliburton. Because if you told me that Tyrese Haliburton, your boy, would have 21 points total in 2 games, I'd say the Pacers would have gotten squashed like the Magic have gotten squashed. But no, Spicy P was here to save the day. Number 3, Spicy P. Number 2. I have the Ant-Man, Anthony Edwards. He's saying things like, they got KD, we got Jaden McDaniels. KD. Oh, my gosh. Jaden McDaniels, he went from 10 points per game on 49% shooting during the season to 17, 54% shooting. He enhanced his boy, Jaden. He's also trash-talking his idol, KD. We've seen it. Clapping, laughing, yelling. It's time for it's my time. You're too old. He's 24-7-7 on 47% shooting. But to me, those numbers are basically the same as his regular season. But the numbers is what's dropping the weights. It's his energy. It's the daggers. It's the stepping up in the big moments. He actually only had 15 points in game two. But somehow it felt like 30 or 40 because of what he was bringing intangibly and the clutch moments when Phoenix started to get close. That's why I have the Ant-Man number two. And number one, number one. Rockley dropping the weights. Biggest playoff flex. Eric Spoelstra. Coach Spo. Joe, this dude doesn't have his best player. Joe, the org traded his locker room leader. Joe, the guy he got traded for is hurt. Terry Rozier. They lost Max Strus and Gabe Vincent, who were fourth and fifth and points scored in the playoffs for them last season. They're up against a juggernaut. There have only been 21 teams in the history of the league to have a better record than the Celtics did this season. But they just beat the Celtics at home, where they were unbeatable during the season, using a supreme defensive strategy by taking away the Celtics' drive and kick threes, by making it hard on KP, who was 1-for-8, disrupting the Celtics' flow. And this is opposite of what Darvin Ham is saying when they asked him, how do you stop Jokic? He's like, shh, I don't know how to stop Jokic. They are the first playoff team in the last 30 years to win by double digits, despite being an underdog of 14-plus points. And there have been great coaches, Joe. Great coaches in history. Coaches that can motivate. Coaches that can that love X's and O's. But I don't know if there's ever, ever been a coach that has all of the stats. That he can do all of the things. Building a culture. X's and O's. Drawing the max out of his players. Post-loss adjustments. In-game adjustments. Post-series adjustments. Drawing up the perfect plays for every situation. I don't know if there's ever been a coach like... He might be the GOAT coach, in my opinion. I don't know how he got here, but to me, he did. Number one, Eric Spoelstra. That's my top five list of biggest playoff flexes. The Rockley.
I mean, obviously, Spo number one. 100%. And I don't care if they lose a series. I don't care if they don't win another game in this series. We're recording this on Friday, obviously. So, you know, who knows what's going to happen by the time even this comes out. But it doesn't matter. They just beat the historically great Celtics. You know, the quote-unquote historically great Celtics. You know, third best net rating team, blah, 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 you know, in history. At like, on the road, they beat them at Boston. They don't have Jimmy. They don't have Terry. They don't have Josh Richardson. Like, who the heck? Like, who's on this team?
The Bad News Bears.
It's just Bam and Tyler Hero. I mean, Tyler Hero, who is, I don't know. Is Tyler Hero a top 50 player in the NBA?
No.
Probably not. Yeah, right. I mean, is he a top 75 player in the NBA right now?
Questionable.
Maybe. Yeah, he's right around that level, though. And Bam's not even a top – what is Bam? He's top 20, probably.
Like, yeah. 30. 30.
Yeah, 30 for sure. You know, close to the 20, right, though? Like, he's higher third – you know, higher in the top 30 than – but, like, I mean, come on. And you're beating the Celtics, who should have, what, two top – 10-ish guys. I mean, one
we had Tatum at 5 or 6.
Yeah. And then another top,
Jaylen Brown, top 25.
Guy. And then Porzingis, fringe top 20 guy.
Top top 40.
And then Drew Holiday, who should be like a top 40 guy.
We know the truth about him, though.
We know the truth, but I mean, people look. Some people, I'm averaging it out because we think he's more like probably like top 50.
And Derek White, the second best player in the NBA.
I mean, I don't know. Spoelstra's a genius. It's crazy how prepared they were. The defense, it's like he knows how to take away what the other team wants to do, limited their threes, because that's what they've all been about, and made it tough on them. And he just said, hey, we're going to just take away one other thing. We're going to take away Porzingis. We're going to switch everything and force him to take advantage of the mismatches,
yep.
Right? And like Tatum and Brown can't do anything about that. Like they're going to get what they're going to get. But if the team is limited and they're going a lot of one-on-one, this team is like not nearly as good as they look on paper. If you just take that stuff away. And dang, they just did it. And he said, who cares? We're going to shoot a bunch of threes. I don't care what kind of three-point shooting team we are on paper. We're going to shoot a bunch of threes if that's what they're going to give us. And we're going to make them. And they did. And four times in the past two seasons, Cliff, they have shot above 50% in the playoffs against the Celtics from three. So this isn't some fluke. They know what they're going to give them. They know what they're going to take. It's amazing. It's amazing.
The Celtics have only lost four times at home this season. Four. And now this one will be five. This one was the fifth one.
But did you see? I saw a graphic recently, though, but in the past two seasons, they've lost more than half their games, I think, at home in the playoffs.
In the playoffs.
Yeah. So, and like,
we know about the Celtics, right?
We know. They're not clutch. They haven't
been
clutch.
And then they added Drew Holiday, who's less clutch.
Who's not clutch.
The only clutch person in game two was Derek White.
Derek White? Give Derek White. I mean, look, I hate the Celtics, but if you want to win the series, just give Derek White the ball every time down the stretch. Let him initiate the offense. He's the only guy who is not afraid to shoot, who is a good playmaker when he gets in the lane, who can exploit the mismatches. I mean, we've seen Tatum and Brown. They're very good at like specific things only, but they're not good playmakers down the stretch. They turn it over. Tatum always throws it to a guy on the bench or one of the refs, and Brown always dribbles it off his leg going left. I mean, this has happened like a million times at this point. I feel like I've seen the same play like 100 times. So anyway, Spo, genius. Love it. Okay. I'm with Spicy P. I would move Ant probably lower, but I do like what you're saying. Energy has been amazing. Energy's, oh man.
His energy's off the roof.
He's punking Phoenix, like straight up. He's just punking Phoenix. Ant and Benedict Mathurin are the future of NBA culture, and I love it. I'm here for it, right? I hope we get back to that 90s energy and not this everybody's friends and we're going to get on a banana boat together energy.
Banana boat.
Jokic, of course, cannot complain about that. The one thing I'll say, Jared Allen, looking at the list now, you got to have Embiid on this list. You got to have Embiid on this. He's leading the playoffs in scoring at the moment. 37.7, 47% shooting. He's playing on one leg and with only half his face. I mean, come on. Like he dropped a 50 bomb, you know, in the most recent game. I mean, he is. And shout out to Tyrese Maxey, who's also averaging, 31 points per game right now. I mean, not as efficient, but – oh, actually, he's more efficient. He's shooting 51% from the field. And so Tyrese Maxey, Joel Embiid, I mean, these guys, they are – it's all heart. I don't love Embiid's body language and his energy.
Yeah.
But
– He's doing opposite of what Ant is doing.
But like, given
what
he's going through and also the fact that he's still producing on the court, I have to give him a pass. Yeah. I mean, I think Philly would be doing a lot better if he was like a little more pumped up.
Yeah.
But Maxey is pumped up. And Embiid is delivering. So, I mean, you got to just give him credit for that. He's the – man, I mean, how many threes did he make last game? He was – I mean, he had five for seven from three, 13 for 19 from the field, and 19 for 21 from the free throw line. mean, that's pretty amazing. 58 for a block, three turnovers. I mean, just – so I'd give it to him over Jared Allen, although I don't hate the Jared Allen pick. It's all right.
Yeah, I wanted to give love to a sneaky pick.
Yeah, like a
– Yeah.
A role player.
Yeah, yeah. All right. Next, let's do cringy bingy. We've already been on it, so let's finish the thought. Cringy bingy, the Celtics losing to the Heat.
I mean, how could this possibly be cringy? Who in their right mind could possibly call this cringy? This is maximum bingy. This is beyond the max bingy. This is like, I could watch this on repeat over and over and over. Just every day for the rest of eternity. If the Heat beat the Celtics in this series, Cliff, I will watch highlights of this series.
They should just stop the playoffs. Just stop the playoffs.
We should end basketball.
You know how, guys?
We did it. It's been accomplished. Like,
you know how they stopped the entire game for LeBron's like 37,000, surpassing Kareem? Like, they stopped the entire game, had a full on ceremony when there's like 40 seconds left in the third quarter. They could have just waited to the end of the third quarter, but they just stopped the whole thing. We should do that. They should just stop the whole playoffs and wow.
No, Cliff. They should stop the whole country. Everybody should stop what they're doing. And just in that moment, everybody should stop and just stand up and just clap. Like, we need a mass announcement going out through, you know, Alexa or whatever.
Alexa.
Whatever's out there.
announcement. Amber alert. Amber alert.
There you go. We need to take advantage of that emergency broadcast system I've been hearing about since I was a kid. And just, we need to just send that message to everyone. And we need a standing ovation. We need a worldwide standing ovation for Eric Spoelstra, who gets a throne in the Basketball Hall of Fame, and we just retire him.
I said this right before the series started. This completely is a master with a stick and a beginner with a sword. Not 100%. Even a bazooka. A beginner with a bazooka.
Rocket launcher.
As you said, Pai Mei.
Oh, yeah, Pai Mei, for sure.
Pai Mei from Kill Bill.
Just poking eyes out, you know?
Yeah.
Just like snatching eyes.
Snatching eyes, snatching souls. That's what Eric Spoelstra's doing right now. The very first time that my Celtics friends have not been so arrogant. Like, where it's like come down. They're like, the humility is coming in. They're like, yeah, I don't know.
Spo, I feel like he always comes with a plan. And he always puts his team in the best position to succeed. So they know that if they lose, it's not because they were unprepared. Right? It's not because they were outcoached. It's not because they didn't have a plan. It's because they got beat. And as a player, it's like you can live with that. Yeah. If you're like, hey, you know what? Like, they were just better than us today. Like, what can we do? If they're on fire, they're making really tough shots. And obviously, we know they're more talented than us. If they beat us because of that, then you kind of can live with it. And you just live to fight again the next game because you don't lose hope. If you come in and you know you're supposed to win and then you lose and you didn't really have a good plan or you had no plan, then you feel really bad, right? Like, the morale is very low because you just have this constant feeling of like, we should have won. Like, why did we lose? We should have won, right? And that's hard to overcome, even with a huge talent gap. So I definitely think the Heat can win. Will they win? I don't know. The gap is so big.
It's like humongous.
It's such a big gap. You just feel like it shouldn't be possible. But, you know, I think the Celtics, if anything, evidence, the history has shown us that they are not the mentally toughest, especially under Joe Mazzulla, not the mentally toughest team.
We know this. We've talked about this entire season. The close games are the ones that they lose. The ones that are big time are the ones that they lose.
The media finally caught up to us after like 2 years. They actually, you know, the mainstream media, they finally caught on to it when we were talking about this like 2 years ago. But yeah, I mean,
we'll see.
It's known now. And I feel like that makes it even more pressure.
All right, Joe, last one. The Lakers on the verge of getting swept. They're on the verge, right?
My head.
So let's go right to it. Cringy Bingy, the Lakers and LeBron's demise.
I mean, for me, it's both.
Mm.
It's both. I don't think I've ever said this, but it is both. Because I hate to see the Lakers lose. You know, as Lakers fans.
Maybe we need to split it out.
I hate to – that part of it I hate, right? It's so cringy. I hate it. I hate to see them blow a 20-point lead and lose to Jamal Murray on a buzzer beater. Like, I just hate that. But what I'll say is the reason I think it is – I don't know if bingy is the right word, but we have to just go through this so we can get to the next era. Because as we've both said, it's over.
It's over.
LeBron, look, this is no LeBron hate at this point. It has nothing to do with his legacy. He's just old, right? He's just old and he's past his prime and he's capped as far as how good
he's
this
past
team can
his post prime. It's
yes,
not
yes.
even prime.
Yeah, which is like, and again,
insane.
Like, I think it's incredible that he's this good at this age. It is absolutely incredible.
Yes.
But he's
yes.
not a top 10 player, obviously. Now he's like maybe not a top 20 player. Mm. Like, this is the thing. I feel like when people are like, oh, it's Darvin Ham's fault, or like it's this guy's fault, or it's that guy's fault. The only reason, look, I don't think Darvin Ham's a good coach. And we said that at the beginning. When Darvin Ham first came in, I was like, oh, yeah, they got all the phrases. You know, they always got the alliteration. You know, they come in with all that stuff prepared, right? We'll see what you do when you're actually faced with LeBron James, you know, in the middle of a game and you have to tell him something. You got to tell him, get on the bench, or you got to tell him, run this play.
And we definitely said, because the first things he said is, we need more from, like, he said it of the role players, right? I forget who the names were, but he was like, we need more from them. We need more. He never once said we need more from LeBron, Westbrook, or AD. He never once mentioned their names.
Yep.
And I was like,
no accountability.
Uh-oh.
And you knew that was not going to be a good formula for success. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. People think like, oh, okay, if we had Spo, trust me, if we had Spo, we would not be doing what the Heat are doing. Because LeBron is not like that. He would actually be terrible for the Heat. Because he cannot physically do the things that are required to have that kind of team and that kind of culture. Watch him on the court. He can't play defense. He looks like me out there. He looks like an old man out there trying to play. He cannot keep up with the younger players. He's getting burned on every play. He puts no fear into anybody. He can still chase down. Okay, that's the one thing that he can still do. But everything else, like staying in front of a guy and defending him one-on-one, I mean, he's getting burned by literally everybody.
Yeah.
Like, everybody is shooting over him. Everybody is shooting step backs on him. Everybody is driving by him and going to the hoop. And afterwards, he just kind of puts his hands up because he's like, I'm not going to guard that guy. Like, he's basically saying, like, I'm not going
to he doesn't want to get dunked on.
Yeah. Yesterday, Cliff, he slowed down the offense like crazy. They were trying to run in the middle of the third quarter and in early fourth when everybody was missing. Everybody was like, the Nuggets weren't on fire or anything. Like, they were missing tons of shots. Rebound, they get it out to AR, and when AR had it, he would run down the court. LeBron would not make it past half court.
Yeah.
The play where Torian Prince hit a corner three, and then the one where AR had a layup, and then there was one where AD had a layup. LeBron did not get past half court on any of those plays. And there would be half the plays, they'd give the ball to LeBron, and every time they give the ball to LeBron, they can't get something in transition because he's walking.
Yeah.
He literally walk it into the you know, walk it over the half court, and then they would get a terrible shot because the defense is set. So this is it. We're capped. Because what are you going to do? You can't bench LeBron, right? I mean, I think they should have benched him more just so he would have energy. But, I mean, you can't bench him. But if he's going to be on the court, you can't play defense. You can't have a good defense while LeBron's on the court. He's too old. He's too tired by halftime. So that part, like, we just got to go through it. Yeah, we got to suck. I mean, not suck. Like, we can be a borderline playoff team for two more seasons until LeBron retires. And then when he retires – and look, don't get a new coach. Don't do anything, okay? Because we're not going to be good. I don't care if we get a new coach right now. We're not going to be good, guys. Like, and people saying, oh, but look at our team. It's so good. It's not good. It's just average. Like, I know Lakers fans think, like, Austin Reaves is so good. Look at Tyrese Maxey, okay? Like, look how good the other team's players are. Like, look how good De'Aaron Fox is. And they also have Sabonis. And they also have Malik Monk. And they also have Keegan Murray. Like, thinking that our team is so good. It's not – and that's not even a good team. Look at the Pelicans, man. Like, they got Zion. They got Brandon Ingram. They got CJ. They got Trey Murphy. Like, they got guys who can guard. They got Herb Jones, who's, like, a legit defender, like, 3-and-D guy. We're not good. Our roster's not. It's average. It is extremely average. And LeBron is not even a top 20 player. So you got other. There's so many other teams that have two top 20 players and a better supporting cast than the Lakers. We're not underachieving. We're just achieving properly, right? Stop trying to make your B student kid, like, get all A's. Like, it's not going to happen, all right? It's like, just be happy for him and be proud of him, okay? Like,
yeah, and like, did anyone expect them to beat the Nuggets?
Of course not. But I just think there's so much talk from both the media and Lakers fans as if the Lakers are somehow underachieving, and there's someone to blame.
No,
they're not underachieving. No. They're not. The roster's not that good. Like, people are acting like we have the Celtics roster. And somehow we're only the 8th seed or whatever.
Right.
And it's just like, why do you look? Just look at every team ahead of us. They have better players. Except the Pelicans. Like, the Pelicans are literally the only team.
Which is why they lost to the Lakers in the play-in.
Yeah, yeah. And like, every other team that finished ahead of us in the regular season, it's better than us. Like, they have a better roster.
Yeah. I think, you know, if you look at his traditional metrics, LeBron's traditional metrics, they are going down, but they're still great in a vacuum. But if you look at his PER, it is the worst PER of his entire career outside of his rookie season. The worst. Like, he's dropping down. If anybody, I implore you, that is still on the LeBron James, like, he's one of the top five best players in the world. Please, please go watch a 2007 LeBron James dunk package. Just watch it.
Just watch the highlights from the Pistons series.
Like, just watch that.
Eastern Conference Finals.
You will be shocked. You'll be like, dude, this guy is amazing. Then watch a LeBron James 2024 highlight package. And you'll be like, whoa, is this in slow motion?
That's the thing. Like, you can just tell on the court. If anybody watches one game from every team this NBA season, like one full game beginning to end, there's no way that you are going to say LeBron James is a top 10 player.
You can't.
You can't watch a full game.
You can't.
Of Jokic, of Giannis, of Embiid, like, all when healthy.
Luka. Ant-Man.
I mean, it's Steph.
SGA.
Still, KD. SGA. Like, all these guys, you can't watch them still. Even the aging players, right? The other stars who are also aging, but just not have aged as much as LeBron. Like, you can't watch them and think, oh, LeBron's definitely still. Because you look at Pascal Siakam the other day, and you think, like, is he better than LeBron? Is Pascal Siakam better than LeBron?
Spicy P?
Maybe. You know what I'm saying? Like, you watch Tyrese Maxey, you're like, is he better than LeBron? Maybe. He's averaging 30 in a playoff series on 51% shooting, and they're down only 2-1, and we're getting swept.
The devil's in the details, though, right? Because it's like the things that he's doing is because he is acting as the centerpiece of the offense.
Yeah.
That's the problem, right?
Yeah.
If he Westbrooked it and said, maybe it's better for me to come off the bench. Maybe not the bench, but like maybe it's better for me to play 25 minutes. Or maybe it's better for me to hang around and do that. He can't, though. He can't.
Yeah.
He's constructed as him.
Yeah.
That's
He's
the
not going to be able to have a Vince ending to his career. He can't turn into a role player and just like come in and shoot some threes and like, you know, have a big play like here. Like he, for him to be any kind of effective, he needs the ball in his hands like the majority of the time, even when it's to the detriment of all the other players. But I think that the scales have tipped on the law of LeBron to the point where he's no longer good enough to make it worth it.
Yeah.
You know,
the spirit bomb isn't defeating Vegeta.
Yeah. No, at this point, I mean, trade LeBron with any of those other players we named and the Lakers would be better. Straight up.
Yeah.
Yeah, just give us Ant. Give us, you know, Steph. Give us KD.
Well,
give
of
us
course.
Any other,
yeah.
Yeah. Of, no, but that's what I'm saying. But that's what people don't realize. Because that was always the argument for LeBron in the past, right? Oh,
I
but
see.
Switch LeBron and Kobe and, like, you know, the Cavs wouldn't be good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, because he couldn't do more with less. And I've always conceded that. If you give him a terrible team, LeBron in his prime was one of the best players to put on any team and have them, like, be competitive. Like, go to
and,
the playoffs.
And everybody, just so everyone's clear, that argument was from 2009.
Yes.
It's been 15 years.
Yes. But now, obviously, I mean, I don't know if anybody actually thinks this, but if they do, like, if you think this, I'm just telling you you're mistaken now. You know, it's like he's super old. And at this point, there's at least – I mean, there's got to be at least 30 players better than him.
Okay, then.
That you'd rather
so
have.
So here's the question, right? Well, let's start with the Lakers, and then we'll go to LeBron. How should the Lakers approach next season? And then how should LeBron approach next season?
Is it like what I want or is it like...
If you were the Lakers, how would you approach next season? If you were LeBron, how would you approach next season?
I mean, they're trapped. There's nothing they can do. There's nothing they can do. The only thing they could do is LeBron retires. Like if it was what I wanted, then I would say, LeBron, hang it up. What more is there left to accomplish? You're not going to win a championship. That's out the window. And it's not because of management, and it's not because of decisions or cap space or anything. It's because of you. You are not good enough to win a championship anymore, and you're not bad enough to be the second or third best player on a championship team.
Mm.
Like, it just can't happen. You're in the Harden problem now. Like, because the only way you're anything is if you have the ball in your hands. But you're no longer good enough to be that guy. So there's no way. You're capped. You're capped because of LeBron. He has to retire. If he doesn't, then the Lakers should do nothing. Save all your money. Save all your moves. Right?
Should they let, like, D'Lo walk?
I mean, why re-sign him?
Mm.
Like, what's the point? Right? Mm. Like, you get him and what? Because D'Lo is like great. He's a great complimentary piece, but he's obviously not clutch. He's definitely not a centerpiece. He's not going to be the second best guy on a championship team. And can even be the third best guy? Maybe, but I'd rather have Austin anyway in that role. So then why keep D'Lo? You know, if anything, just sign a backup point guard.
They have Gabe Vincent already.
I mean, but he's not really a point guard. I love Gabe Vincent, by the way. I wish we played him more in this series. Mm-hmm. He was the only guy who was effective on defense.
He's a winner.
And so, like, he's great. We should have got him more looks. He took that one step back in game three, and I'm like, that's going in. And, of course, it did. Because, like, it's, like, literally the only time I saw him in an offense where he was comfortable. Like, an offensive set where he was comfortable. And, of course, it's going in. Like, you know... It's very tough with LeBron for anybody to be where they're comfortable. And so there's no
point. The Lakers should not try to do anything.
No, save all your moves, save all your picks, save all your cap space. Okay, until LeBron retires, because you're not ever going to be – there's no way. How could you ever? Like, you literally have to get a player who's better than – who's a top 10 player right now for the Lakers to have a chance. But, I mean, that's, like, stupid. That anybody – like, you know what I'm saying? Like, that's not a strategy, right? Like, any team could think that. Oh, if we just get Ant-Man, you know, we'll be a championship contender. I mean, literally any team in the NBA could think that. But that's not a strategy. That's not going to happen.
So don't draft Bronny this summer.
You can if you want. I don't really care because it will just be a story. Yeah, draft him. Have LeBron stay and play with his kid. Like, I don't care. This is the end of Kobe's career too. Do you know what I mean? It's like, I just didn't care. I'm like, you know what? We're not competitive. Like, so if that's the case, then I don't care about the stories and like let LeBron do his farewell season. I think LeBron should do his farewell season next season. He should just announce it. We all know he wants to. He wants to get the love, right? Just announce it. Have him do his farewell tour. LeBron, go out when you're still averaging 25. You know, like you're still going to average 25, 7-7. You're still going to be an amazing player. You're going to be 40 years old. I mean, and then your son's going to come to the NBA. Like, it's the perfect time. Just leave. Play one season with him, whether it's with him or against him, you know, and it'll be the James game. You know, it's the Bron game or whatever. It'll be televised all across the world, you know. Just do that. Like, do it for the memes and the stories and then walk away. And then the Lakers can rebuild. Then you fire Darvinham. Then you know... Then you get rid of everyone, you clean house, and you start over.
What should they do with AD?
I mean, just I don't care. Without, you know, AD is just, we know who he is. He is just an extremely good player who is a average, like best player.
Mm-hmm.
He's like extremely talented. But he's just – if your team has him as your best player, then you're just an average team. And so like this is it. This is the situation. Lakers fans, I'm sorry, but we have to accept it. There's no way that we should think, okay, there's a way for us to get better. You know, unless we trade LeBron somehow, but I don't think that's even possible.
I don't know
and
who would
even if we trade
to.
AD, we have to get a player who's better than AD. And I don't think that's not how trades work. You know, like there's no way someone's going to trade us someone better than AD for AD.
No, it would have to be something like trade AD to get like Brandon Miller.
Yeah, I mean, I don't mind that, but I don't think honestly that that's even a good move right now.
Yeah.
Just because it's like it's risky and, you know, we're just going to suck for many years.
Yeah.
Because you never know with the Lakers. If LeBron retires and we have a bunch of cap space and like we could trade AD, maybe we could pull something off and get two players at once.
Mm.
Do you know what I mean? Who are just like approaching their prime. Like, I think it is possible, just the fact that we're the Lakers, if we could do that, we could entice two players to come to LA. I mean, look what's going on with Dame in Milwaukee.
Yeah.
I think that's a cautionary tale to anybody who's like, oh, yeah, just go wherever. You know, who cares? I don't think so. You know, like, I think cities are still cities, and you still want to live somewhere that, like...
You have friends.
Yeah. And you can go out past 8, as you say.
This is the cringiest of cringy. It's just so sad. Just everything. The entire body language of the Lakers at the end of game 3 is how I feel. Like, this is a situation that is going to take a long time to resolve.
Yeah, yeah.
A long time. I think for LeBron, like, the best thing for him, really, is to have a farewell season. For sure. That's the best thing, right? Keep the eyes on him. You know, he should be like, I'm going for 42,000.
Do it.
Going for 42,000, right? he's not going to win any more champ. Even if he gets traded, like the most likely place he would go, like that would take him is Golden State. But what's that going to do? That's just going to tarnish it more.
There's no way. It makes no sense for LeBron's brand or his future to leave the Lakers now. He should retire a Laker. It's good for him. It's good for the Lakers. I think overall that is good, right? Like we want LeBron to retire a Laker. He can be part of the Laker legacy, right? For LeBron, it's good for his brand because he's got Cleveland, of course, forever. Like that's gonna be always there, and he's got some Miami, and now he's got LA. I mean, that's great.
If he goes to
New York, like the only better thing would get New York, right? But you can't. You go to New York now, you're not gonna win.
Yeah, so, the Lakers thing has been that they will pay you. They will support a superstar all the way to the end, right? You can't abandon that now at this point. Like you suffered through those Kobe years to be able to say for any superstar that comes here, we're going to take care of you. Like we're going to take you all the way to the end. Yeah, I guess, you know,
I'm fine with it. Because I think it sets us up better for the future. Look, LeBron still got a championship here. We're going to take care of his legacy all the way to the end. He did some milestones. He broke the record, you know, the points record, all the kind of stuff here. He's going to retire here. We're going to put his jersey up in the rafters. Like, all that stuff. I think it's good. Because you look up in those rafters and you see, you know, Shaq, LeBron, Kobe, James. LeBron. Yeah, I mean, you're just like, oh, yeah, this is another one. Right? Magic, Kareem. Like, you see everybody up there and you're like, dang.
Yeah, you know, the all-time Lakers is big.
And that's good because the next guy who comes in, maybe he will come in not with LeBron thinking, I'm going to absorb the Lakers into my legacy. And he will be content to be like, okay, I'm going to be part of this legacy, right? Like, I'm going to get absorbed into this legacy. And that'll be good for everybody moving forward. Oh, so I don't, you know, at this point, I'm not bitter or like sad or anything because we did get the one championship. I'm very happy about that. And we're just moving on. I want to just move on from
I'm just sad. LeBron era. I like when LeBron is good. It makes making fun of him a lot easier. All right. That's it, everyone. Thanks for listening to People's Pod. Subscribe, like, comment, share, rate, give us 5 stars. We'll be back next week with more nonsense. This is SBR with Joe. Peace.